chapter 2, James chapter 2. Thank you, ladies, very much. I'm very thankful for all the talent we have in our church. It is a blessing, and I appreciate you being here today. James chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 14. Preaching on the subject this morning of show me faith. Kind of like Missouri's the show me state. James says, I want you to show me your faith. And a faith that is not shown is a faith that is dead, as the scripture will say here in just a moment. James chapter 2 and verse 14. Brother Latta's not in here, so I know he's preaching on pride tonight. So if y'all will tell him I preached a great message on pride today, that'll scare him just a little bit, okay? All right, so if y'all could just, if you see him in the hallway, say, man, he preached the, one of the best messages on pride I've ever seen in my life. Not to be prideful, but, you know. So anyway, I like messing with our staff, so that keeps them on their toes. James chapter 2, James writing to the brethren. James writing to Christians. And so chapter 2, verses 14 through on down to verse 26 are kind of controversial to some people. But I tell people all the time when I was teaching out at the seminary, sometimes it's not what you don't understand, but it's what you understand. In other words, if the Bible teaches salvation, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not a works, lest any man should boast. So, and I'll give you 100 scriptures here in a little bit. Matter of fact, Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Isaiah 64, the Old Testament, tells us, but we are all unclean things, and all of our righteousness as filthy rags, and we do fade away as a leaf. Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken away. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ, and not by works of the law. For by works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So knowing that truth that stems throughout all the Bible, you don't get to the book of James and change your theology. So a lot of people, when we read this here in a little bit, a lot of people read it and go, oh my soul, we are saved by works. That's what the scripture says. So obviously, if the whole Bible agrees on one thing, one verse should never change our theology. That's where you get different religions from. They take one verse and they pull it out and they use it as a crutch and use it as a foundation for doctrine. Folks, we don't do that. And so you got to understand, maybe through a lot of study and a lot of reading and a lot of praying, and that God will reveal to you. So let's read it together. Verse 14 says, what doeth it profit, my brethren? Notice what he said, my brethren. Though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? Now, that if you stop there, you would say, well, I don't know. Can faith save? Yes, it can. But he is talking about a working salvation. He's talking about, can that type of faith be testified that has saved him? There's a few trains of thoughts here. Another train of thought is that can it save him in verse 15? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding to give them not those things which are needful to the body, which doeth it profit? Here's the thing, is that we could say we have faith, but our faith, just by saying we have faith, saves nobody. In other words, if there's somebody that's about to fall out of a boat into swift water, we can say, well, I got faith, he'll pop right back up. Right? Or you can have the type of faith that says, I'm going to jump in and try to save him. That is that faith, and that's what James is talking about. He's talking about that. I even brought this up here today. I brought a badge with me today. That badge says, it's my I Have Faith badge. A lot of people wear this around, but they never act it out. Right? I mean, yes, I got faith. By the way, there's a lot of people on our prayer list that we're praying that God would give them something that we know that we could give them. Hello, sister so-and-so needs $20. God, please, through your grace and your mercy, give it. Why don't you just get your wallet out and give it to her? Boy, it got quiet. I like it when it gets quiet because that tells me where I need to stay for a little while. right? You won't get quiet again, will you? It's kind of like when that doctor goes over you with that stethoscope, and he goes, You know, you go, uh-oh, something's wrong. But here's the thing, is that we must, as and this is what James is talking about, we as Christians need an active faith. By the way, faith is not faith if you just say you have faith. I can wear this badge all day long that says I have faith, but until I act on that faith, it's not really faith. Hello? I can say, boy, brother Watson just needs somebody to take him out to lunch. I sure hope Brother Cox does that. Right? Or I can say, Brother Watson, can I take you out for lunch? And I am going to do that this week, by the way. You're on my list. Because I've been thinking about him. You know what? A lot of times we say, boy, I sure hope somebody gives to missions. Whew, man, I hope they do. Because our missionaries, or we can be the ones that go and act out our faith. We can say, boy, I sure hope our neighbors find out about Jesus Christ, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. I hope they find that out. Or we can act out our faith. By the way, a faith that saves is a faith that acts out. Right? And we must see this in the book of James. Notice what he says, verse 17. He says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. In other words, you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are saved. Hallelujah. But a true faith in Jesus Christ, a true trust in Jesus Christ, will not let you be that person that sits in that pew and does nothing. You say, are you saying I might be lost? I am saying that. We dance around that little statement, don't we? Well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings and tell them they might be lost. Hey, if there's no conviction in your life and there's no drive to serve God, you're probably not saved. We need a lot of church members across America to get down to the altar and get saved this morning. We need people that have heard the gospel time and time again, who have never really put their trust in Christ. They've never put their whole faith in Christ as their substitute. We need them to get saved this morning. You say, well, I'm appalled by that. Well, you're probably the one that needs to get saved this morning. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Hallelujah. Boy, that'd be a verse for America, wouldn't it? Whew. I'm meddled. I better get back to the scripture before I get fired. Pastor does go back and watch these. Now notice what he says, verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith, what? By my works. In other words, I will show you that I'm saved by what I do. That's it. You know, you could say, I am a doctor. I am a surgeon. Let's go that far. But let's go even further. Let's say that I'm John Smith. I'm a brain surgeon. And her husband's a retired brain surgeon. So if I went to John and I said, John, I think I'm a brain surgeon too. I know how to scrub in. I've scrubbed in many times. Worked in the OR. I can go in there. I go in there and I'm like, give me a scalpel. Now, let's say Crystal McKinney's laying on the table. Crystal McKinney is going to find out very quickly, I am not what I say I am, if she comes out of it. After the first incision, Brother John Smith would say, no, that's not the brain. You just chopped your ear off. You see, I know that's kind of comical, but that's what a lot of Christians are saying today. Yeah, I'm saved. But they never go to church. Yeah, I'm saved, but I never read my Bible. Yep, I'm saved, but they never tell anybody else about Jesus Christ. Listen, I realize you can be saved and be backslidden and cold and indifferent. I realize those things, but I think it's come to our reality in today's society that you're either saved or you're lost. There's no in-between today, and we try to cuddle people and goo-ga and gee-ga people and gucci-goo and all this stuff. But listen, you either have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you have put your faith in Him as the only way of salvation, or you have not. Simple. A light switch is either on or off. There's no in between. Well, I think I had. Nope, you're on the off switch. If you're the think so, I hope so, you're on the off. A light is either on or it's off. And listen, folks, why would you not want to trust Jesus Christ? He's willing to take you out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set your feet on a solid rock. He's willing to take you from the very pits of hell and lift you out of there and put you in a place called heaven. And the Bible says our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven today. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. The girls just sang about it. Wonder working power in the blood. Jesus loved you so much that He gave His life on the cross of Calvary. I'm telling you what, folks, before the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's amazing to me. I got saved at the age of 16. Before that, I was lost. I figured that one out. My light switch was off. And can I tell you that in those 16 years prior to that, I had nothing, wanted to do nothing for God, and I didn't love the Lord. But you know what? He loved me. Wow, that's amazing. So, folks, you're either saved or you're either lost. I'm not here to make you doubt your salvation today. That's not my job. My job is to say, is there something coming out of your life that displays the work of Christ in you? Here's what James says. Listen to what he said. He's saying the same thing I'm saying. Because verse 19 says this. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. See, that's where we're at a lot today in Christianity, so-called Christianity. I believe in God. But what? Well, here it is. The devils also believe and tremble. The problem today, we know a lot of people that believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in God, but they don't even tremble. You know why? Because they really don't know Him. You see today that just having a belief in Jesus Christ is not salvation. You can believe all you want. Yeah, He's Christ. Yeah, He's God. Yeah, He's the Holy Spirit. But until you put your faith, and that's saving faith, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. James is telling us that, notice verse 20, he says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is what? It's dead. That word dead there means the same as what we would say empty. It's dead. It cannot produce anything. If you're lost and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, guess what? You can't do good works. You can't produce. There is none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even though, as Isaiah had told us, that our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's nothing we can do. You talk about filthy rags. Brother Chad dumped over some rags out on the front porch. The birds flew away. The rats came by with a white flag. I'm telling you, a skunk came by with a little flag that said, I give up. I'm telling you, it was, Brother Chad told me, he said, you'll smell it in a minute. I never really smelled it until I went back out there. Oh, my soul. I forgot where they came from, somewhere. They'd been locked up in a little thing. Oh, man. But you know what? God says that's what our works is before Him. We can't do anything to please God without Christ in our life. James is speaking to, in chapter 2, verse 1, he's talking, he says, my brethren. He's writing to Jewish Christians. And what is he? And he says, brethren, again, in verse 14, as we just read, he's talking about that our faith. Can that faith save him? In other words, there is a belief system and there's a faith system. A belief system does not save. You could say, I believe this, but if you do not have faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, not belief. You see, I can believe a lot of things, but until I put my faith in them. You know what faith does? Faith puts actions to things. Faith is an action word. Faith is not something we are to sit on. And real true faith will produce goodness out of your life. It will produce Christ-like things out of your life. James is asking the believers here. He says, show me your faith. He says, I hear all of this that you want to do this and that you want to do this, but show me. I know, but you ever meet people that always have great ideas but don't want to be a part of it? That's usually me. It's like, man, I got a great idea. You know what church I do? They ought to all go out and do this while I sit here and not do that. Right? I think of those things. You ever think of those? Anybody ever have a wife like that? Says, honey, I have a great idea. Oh, don't you love those words, husbands? Everybody shake your head. Yes, honey, I love that idea of going to the mall with you. That's a great idea. I don't want to go to the mall with you, right? But my wife doesn't want to go to the mall either, so thank God for her. But a lot of times is that we have people that say, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to accomplish this, but they don't want to be a part of it. And listen, as a child of God, you ought to want to be a part of the plan of God for your life. And for the plan of God throughout eternity, whatever it may be, God may want you to do this. And listen, I never thought I'd be standing in front of a church this size and preaching. Never one day in my life did I ever think, well, that's what I'm going to do. Never had that cross my mind. But you know what? It's amazing what you can do when you just have faith in God. And when God came to Moses and he said, Moses, I'm going to use you. Moses, I'm going to send you to your people and you're going to deliver them. And Moses said, God, I can't do that. And remember what God said to Moses in chapter 2, I believe it was. He said, Moses, what's in thy hand? Moses said, well, there's a rod there. And God, through using that rod, revealed to Moses that God was going to use him and use that rod to bring about the very plan of God. And then after he showed him that rod was powerful, that God was going to use what Moses already had, Moses said, well, Lord, I can't speak good. God said, I've got an answer for that too. He said, I'll give you Aaron, and Aaron be as thy mouth. See, God has an answer for everything. Because he wants you in his plan, and we must have faith enough. And thank God that Moses had faith enough to know that God was going to do the things that he said he was going to do. Thank God that a lot of people, matter of fact, you go to Hebrews chapter 11, you see a lot of faith, don't you? You see those people of faith, and we'll look at a couple of those here in a little bit. But faith that is empty, faith that has not works, is dead, it's empty. And today James is encouraging us to be not just hearers of the word, as he said in chapter 1, but doers of the very word of God. I give you three things this morning. Number one, I want you to notice in verses 14 through 18, we see what is the profit of your faith. Let me ask you this morning, what is the profit of your faith? That word profit just means something you've earned, something that has been granted to you. What is the profit of your faith? Or what is the product or the progress of your faith? What do you produce with your faith? Can you look back on this week and see that you activated your faith, that you used your faith? How this week did you use your faith? When the offering plate passed by, was there faith involved in that? Whenever that person came and God wanted you to witness to them, was there faith in that? Did you use your faith? What is the profit of your faith this morning? Faith is not words that should be spoken, but an action that should be doing. You saying, standing over a person that's drowning, saying, man, I sure hope somebody helps them, it's not going to do them any good. The profit of your faith is whenever you do what God tells you to do. By the way, I realize living a life of faith is hard. You know why? Because my flesh doesn't like to live by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. That should be our life. Your faith should produce. Are there any people that God has laid on your heart to help and you have neglected that? Listen, some situations call for action. When we saw the hurricanes coming this year, boy, we had as many going that way as we had coming this way. I had a lot of friends that went down there to help. That's amazing, isn't it? By the way, that just shows you that southern states still love. Amen. If that would have happened somewhere else around this world, you let that happen in California, I don't think it had the same effect. Hallelujah. It may have. I don't know. But I don't know. I love good old Southern folk, don't you? Even you Yankees that have moved down here, we love y'all. And we'll help you if you ever get flooded. Well, number one, there would have been nobody in California with a boat. Hey, guys, let's go in a kayak, you know, or a little surfboard. Pick up two people on the surfboards, right? But, man, I tell you, I was watching the guy that did our striping of our parking lot. He went down there, and he actually drowned his truck out down there, lost his truck, went off the side of the road and flooded his truck out. And but it's amazing. He was showing me pictures of that. Well, there was nothing but a bunch of rednecks down there. Like, I get to use my boat and my four-wheel drive truck. But listen, there was a lot of people that said, and there was a lot of us that gave, right? That's faith in action. Yeah. There's a lot of people that went, but there was a lot of people that probably could have went and didn't. Listen, we have to put our faith into action. Why? Because of the prophet. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about, and I should have wrote this one down, but it talks about that God through our faith gives us blessings. That God through our faith, and by the way, he also, not what is the profit also of your faith? The profit of your faith is to help others. He gives that. If you read the whole chapter 2, he talks about helping others. By the way, as a Christian, it ought to be our duty. It ought to be our compassion to help one another. You know why? Because somebody always needs help, don't they? You know what? I realize this in church, being in church a long time, is that some people don't need money. Some people just need a hug. Amen. And just for you to tell them, hey, I'm thinking about you today and I'm praying for you. Amen. And I'm telling you what, that'll do a lot. But a lot of times we don't activate our faith. The profit of our faith is not only temporal, but also the profit of our faith is eternal. You see, God says that we lay up treasures in heaven where rust and moth do not corrupt. And listen, I believe that that is what is the product of our faith, is what God blesses us with in heaven. When we stand before the Lord and He's passing out these crowns, it's not going to be the crowns because we were a great singer. It was not the crowns because we were a great guitar player. It's the crowns that because of our faith. Let me give you the second thing. What is the position of your faith? I just said this earlier, verses 17 through 20 say it, but also verse 26. Notice what he says, verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I just said this earlier, and I kind of got ahead of myself, but a light switch is either on or off. And of course, there's always somebody in the crowd that says, no, our light switch, you can put it in the middle. No. That's when you get those sparks out of it, isn't it? But the position of your faith is either alive or it's dead. Folks, I don't know about you, but I don't want a dead faith. I want a live faith. I want a faith that somebody can look at and not say, well done, Michael. Good job, Michael. Good job, Michael. I don't want that. I want a faith that says, wow, our God is a great and mighty God. I thank you, Lord, for sending Michael my way. And thank you for God just caring for me. And listen, we need an active faith. We need a faith that is in the position on the on button. Do you have dead faith? By the way, you know what dead things attract? Flies. Ugh. There's nobody in this auditorium that says, man, I've got 25 pet flies. There's nobody in this auditorium who says, man, I wished I had a bunch of gnats. Don't you just despise those things? They're of Satan. Flies and gnats are of Satan. It can be in your car, right by the window, and you roll it down, and he'll fly the other way. Somebody witness right there. You can roll both of them down, and everything in the car will fly out, paper, trash, which is pretty good sometimes. But that fly's sticking in there. Listen, there's a lot of Christians who has flies and gnats in their life. And listen, until we position our faith on the on position, we will fail to help others and work for eternity. How do you fill up your faith tank? Well, the Bible says, Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You're in a good position this morning. You're in a good place this morning to turn that E sign into an F sign, right? To put your tank back on full. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. This is how we fill our faith tank. This is how we increase our faith, by hearing the Word of God. And listen, all of us throughout the week, our tank kind of gets depleted, doesn't it? And we come back Wednesday and we read our Bible during the week, and we're listening to sermons and things like that. And guess what? Our faith goes up. By the way, a car is useless if it has no gas in the tank. I mean, it can look good. It can be a Chevy, Ford, Dodge, I don't care. It can have a great wax job, great tires, be four-wheel drive or Z78, it doesn't matter. Or have a Hemi in it, I don't care. But if it don't have gas in the tank, guess what? It's no good. And we, without faith as a Christian, are no good. Isn't that something? Hope I'm not being too hateful today. Actually, I know I'm being hateful because I know how I am. I'm pointing the fingers back at me. I know how I get. Folks, I don't know about you, but whenever my faith tank is on empty, I am the, you don't want to be around me. Right? And whenever I don't have the faith that I need to operate as a Christian, listen, I'm failing the mission of God. I cannot accomplish that which should be accomplished. And by the way, when I'm lack on faith, I'm usually full on flesh. Yeah. Number three, what is the picture of your faith? Verses 21 through 25, I want you to look there with me if you will, please. What is the picture of your faith? Let me ask you this. If somebody was to take a snapshot of your life during the week, your faith life, what would it look like? Well, there's been snapshots taken out throughout the Old Testament, and they give us two of them here. Verse 21 says, "Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." He's talking about Abraham, and you can go back and you can read in Romans chapter 4 how that Abraham was justified by faith. But here he's saying, in the eyes of other people, in the eyes of you, I'm justified. I am a Christian by what I do with my faith. That's what he's saying about Abraham. When Abraham woke up early in the morning in Genesis chapter 22 and saddled up his donkey, and he went to a place where God would show him, and he took his son Isaac, he took the wood for the burnt offering, and here they went up to Mount Moriah, and he placed his son down on top of that wood, and he laid him there, and he raised a knife over his body. And Hebrews tells us in chapter 11 that even though Moses, or even though Abraham would have killed Isaac, he believed that God was able to raise his son up. Well, that's great faith. See, he was displaying to the world what had happened in an inward salvation, because Abraham believed God. Abraham not just believed God, but Abraham put his faith in God, and he showed his faith. Maybe it was just a belief if he would have never took his son up on the hill of Moriah. But it became faith when he took his son up on the hill of Moriah. And he raised that knife over his son. And I love what happens. Abraham is a ram caught in a thicket. By its horns, so it'll be right by the law. Isn't that amazing how God did that? That's great faith. I don't know about you, if God come to me and said, "Michael, I want you to take Brody, thine only son, and offer him up for a sacrifice," I'd be like, "Wrong number." Yeah. Right? Yeah. But see, if I had great faith and believed God, that even though, and God would never do that in today's grace period, but that if I was to kill my child, I believe God so much that he could raise him up. Read it over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17 through 19. That's what he talks about. That Abraham was willing to go. There again, I know you heard this 1,000 times, but the Bible says that Abraham rose up early in the morning. That had been the one morning I'd slept as long as I could have. Right? There would have been like 16 melatonin pills taken and NyQuil on top of that. Oh, sorry, Lord, I didn't wake up till lunchtime. I apologize for that. No. Great faith that Abraham had. Then we see, verse 24 says, ye see then, notice that phrase, ye see then. That's the picture of faith. How that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Now he's talking in our eyes, not to God. We're justified by faith through with God immediately. Our justification, just as if we never sinned. But our justification with other people, showing people that we're saved, the fruit of our salvation. As the Bible says, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's the outward working of an inward salvation. Is that this is what people see. The snapshot that people see is what Abraham did. Now notice verse 25 says, likewise also was not... Every time Rahab's mentioned in the Bible, it gives her old profession. It says, Rahab the harlot, justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so works is dead also. So faith without works is dead also. So we see two examples. We see Abraham and we see Rahab. Rahab the harlot. It tells us who she was. When these spies came and they climbed upon the wall and went into her house, I love what she says. She says, I know who y'all are. We've been watching you. That's why our city, Jericho, is shut up, because we saw the children of Israel crossing over Jordan. And we remembered the promise of God that He said that this was your land and that you would conquer it. And I love that. Boy, she had already heard about it. The message had preceded these spies. Then we see that the messengers came in and that the town had possibly seeing them climbing over the wall. And guess what? They were hunting for them. And she hid them. But here's where faith came in. She believed that, number one, that if she hid them, God would protect her. And He did. Because if you hid a felon somebody who had jumped in over the wall or had come into the city, a criminal, there we go, guess what? You would have died. You would have died. And so she had faith, number one, that God protected her. Number two, whenever the spy said, I want you to take the scarlet thread and tie it on that window. And when we come in and we destroy this city, when the walls of the city fall down, whoever's in your house and you are going to be safe. And guess what she did? Not only did she tie a scarlet thread around her window and drape it down so they would be able to know which house was hers, but she called all of her family in. She said, y'all got to get in here. You may not understand right now. Yeah. Kind of reminds you of Noah and his family a little bit. But you got to get into this house. If you're out, the scripture says that if they would have been outside of the home, they would have been destroyed with the rest of the city of Jericho. But because of Rahab's faith, because that, yes, she believed that God would protect her from the soldiers that were coming to find the spies. And second of all, that she tied the thread on the window. And thirdly, that she got her family inside of her home, was a display of her faith. See, this morning we can say, I have faith. We can wear the old badge of faith. I have faith. Well, we can put that thing on, wear it around. But listen, people are watching us. You know when faith is really, really shown? If you go back to chapter 1, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. James tells us that, and then 1 Peter tells us that also. See, sometimes it's not when our faith is on the mountaintop, it's when our faith or when our life is in the valley. And we're going through a trial that our faith is really shown. What is the picture of your faith this morning? Do you have faith? Let me ask you this. Have you trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior? Listen, I'm not talking about a prayer. I'm not talking about some conversation you had with somebody. I'm talking about it was you and God, and the Holy Spirit was there. And the Word of God, you trusted what was said from the Word of God. You believe that Jesus Christ lived and He died and that He rose again. Amen. That's the gospel. You got to believe that. The third thing you need to see also is that you couldn't do anything yourself. Amen. I tell you, I was at Enum Baptist Church in Enum, Florida. It's not even a dot on the map where that place is in Florida. I sat on the back pew, Brother Sonia is back there, and I never will forget. It was that day, I'd been in church almost all my life, it was that day that I realized this very thing, that I could not get myself out of hell on my own. I could not get myself out of my sin on my own, and the only way out was Jesus Christ. And man, when that light came on, I tell people this all the time, I said, I didn't even realize there was people in that church that day. All I remember is just that preacher, I was thinking, will he please hurry up and do that invitation thing? And I remember when he did, I jumped out of that pew and I came down and I knelt right here at this altar. And I trusted Jesus Christ, my Savior, realizing I couldn't save myself. Amen. What a day that was. Amen. People say, you don't understand salvation until you've done it. Oh, yeah, whatever. Boy, when I did, it was just like, poof. The burdens were rolled away. Have I ever regretted salvation? There's nobody here that's saved that would ever say, man, I wish I would have never got saved. Usually what we say is, why did I wait so long? I wish I would have done it earlier. If you're here this morning and don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, come. Activate your faith. Put it in Christ. Do something about it. And by the way, He gives you the faith to believe in Him. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He's willing to save anybody this morning. Amen. But Christian, let me ask you, if we were to take your life this week and say, what did we do with our faith this week? Would our Father be pleased? Or would there be nothing there? Would we not do anything for Him this week? Hey, I'm pointing my fingers back at me. Listen, I deal with the same things you do. Just because I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't mean I don't deal with things that you do. Yeah. We all deal with the same things. And listen, I have to remind myself, the just shall live by faith. And the works of our faith, the works of our faith show our love for our Savior. But it also shows to others that He's our Savior. How's your faith this morning? Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Our Father, we love You today. Dear God, today I pray that You'll take this message. You'll use it. And Father, I pray for, Lord, if there be anybody here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ, their Savior, Lord, I pray that they would just examine themselves. And Lord, if there was a time that they put their faith in You and Lord, saw that they couldn't get themselves out of their sin, Lord, I pray that You'd encourage them this morning. I pray that You'd encourage all of us that are saved, God, to activate our faith more often and use our faith to live by faith, to walk by faith, not by sight. God, help us to see the things You want to accomplish through our life, through faith. And God, not just believing that you can and that You will, and God, that we act upon that. And Lord, our works to show this world that we are saved. Our kindness and our compassion toward our fellow man, Lord, would show this world that we do know Jesus Christ, our Savior. And God, I pray for those that are not saved this morning. Lord, I know that's why You sent Your Son to die on the cross. Lord, that they may have eternal life. And Lord, if You'd save folks this morning, I'd be ever grateful and thankful for You working in their life. And God, we give You the praise and we give You the glory. Now, Father, I ask You to bless this invitation now. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Hymn 157, Jesus.